Hey, greetings, everybody. It is
Sister Iman
with Brother Tupo. She beat me to it right there.
I did.
We want to come to you with some edification today. We
had a really good day.
We did. We had a good preach.
Uh-huh.
We went to an art fair, not a big one. And I don't know, Sister Iman, let's talk about what happened at the art fair. What's on your heart?
Well, first I wanted to say, sometimes when you go to these places, you don't really know what's up with it. Did they permit it? What's going on? What kind of parking?
Can we walk through?
But yeah, so this was like, it turned out perfect. Parking right there, laid back, nice and quiet,
yep.
A calm one.
It was calm.
Like, yeah, like a very relaxing.
Only a couple mockers.
Yeah, yeah.
I walked out right away when we got there, and a police officer was walking, made contact with him, and he said, oh, you're absolutely fine. He said, yeah, First Amendment rights, you're absolutely fine. Well, when we started preaching, the event organizers just told us, you can't be here. And we said, no, it's a public park, we can. And we were trying to make peace, and I'll read a scripture verse about that later. And so they went away, they followed us for a little while, told us we can't be there. The police came back later and said, you're absolutely fine, you're legal, you're peaceful.
Yeah, I talked to one of them.
So
really nice.
That was the only issue we had, and they eventually relented, and we just,
yeah,
we did our thing, and a lot of gospel cards went out.
Oh, yeah, and no amp, because
nope, we didn't have an amp. It was quiet.
We kind of lined up along it while people were coming through, so it's
it was
I just
like
wanted
a,
to kind of describe it a little.
It was an art fair all mingled through a park, like on a big sidewalk, and it was really pretty in there. There was
yeah,
a pond with a bunch of turtles.
Through. Yeah, it was peaceful.
Yep, but it was very peaceful, yeah.
Yeah.
For the most part, it was peaceful. Mm-hmm. What comes to your mind as we're talking about this preach that we did today?
I was thinking about, you know, because you always ponder about this stuff after you're done, what you learned and what you come away with. And I was thinking, haughty to humble.
Yeah.
I have a really good example about that.
That's a good one.
A woman, I got to talk to her, and she's like, oh, I know, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm this and I'm that. And she kind of had like a snippy attitude about it. And I kept talking to her, and I was like, ma'am, I'm not like pointing at you on this because I don't really know you, but I do want to help you. And I said, I'm talking about the gospel itself and the truth itself.
Yeah.
And when I wasn't sitting there pointing at her and judging her like she thought I was. And it was really awesome because she like all of a sudden she humbled.
Changed her tone.
Yeah. And she had a humbled look on her face like, wow, I never heard this stuff before. I don't know if that's what was going on in her, but she seemed to have that attitude. And I was even going all the way into personal holiness for women.
She listened for a long time.
She did, yeah. So it was pretty awesome to see somebody. And when I use the word haughty, I'm not trying to judge her. I'm just saying it's kind of how she portrayed it. Maybe she didn't mean to, but it just kind of, we see that a lot. A lot of people are kind of haughty. I already got it, and this and that. And
yeah, they're prideful. They're lifted up. I got
yeah.
it. We heard this 100 times today, probably. Jesus is in my heart. So apparently you can have Jesus in your heart, live any way you want, but it just doesn't work that way.
It's funny. We did hear that a
yep.
lot today.
Yeah, we heard a lot today. I got Jesus in my heart. We're like, but your heart, how are you living your life? You're of the world. You're of churchianity. You're of false ways. And some people did listen, most of them. Just walked away and gave you the handshake, you know, handshake at you, like, go away.
Yeah.
And so they have a Jesus of their own making. But
yeah,
that lady definitely turned. I have an example of that, too.
Yeah, I wanted to read a scripture verse about it because it made me think of it when I was talking to her, James 4:6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
Yep.
And I hope she heard some of those words when she walked away because her friend didn't really want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was pretty awesome.
We did see some humble people today. I witnessed to an older man. He listened, and he admitted his church system has a lot of sin. When I told him, you can't stay united to that and claim God, he said, I got to ponder that. We went over a lot of topics with him, so I think of him. And then there was another older man I want to talk about, thinking of haughty to humble. He didn't really end up humble, but I think he was lowered. This man was talking to Brother Kuo. Brother Kuo was there with us, and he had some really good conversations. And he kind of, older man, got in Brother Kuo, being a younger man, kind of was talking down to him. Well, I thought it was time to help Brother Kuo to walk up to him and talk to this man at the end. Actually, the guy came around later after he left Brother Kuo, and he told Brother Kuo, you're too harsh. Imagine that. Brother Kuo standing there calmly talking to people. He doesn't even lift up his voice the way I do. He lifts up his voice and preaches, but him and I preach very different,
yeah.
And that's absolutely fine. This man said, you're too harsh, to Brother Kuo. And I said, why is that, sir? And this man was very puffed up because he said, I don't have time to talk about this. I got Jesus in my heart. I got an art gallery to run.
Yep.
And I said, sir, no time for the gospel? No, I got an art gallery to run. And I said, sir, I said, is art an idol for you? And he stopped and he looked. He looked at me and it was like 15 seconds of uncomfortable silence. And he's like, well, and we hit like a chord and it changed him a little bit. And he's like, well, what do you mean? And I said, what one thing do you lack like the rich man, sir? You love art more than the gospel? I said, that's why you got to. I said, would you lose art? Would you surrender art? Give up your art? I said, it's not of God, sir. Would you give it up for the gospel?
I think he said that right now.
He said, I got to go. And he turned around and he walked away. He said, Jesus is in my heart and he knows me. And when I told him that God's going to judge him for a sin, he said this strange thing. He said, I said, sir, God hates those that continue in their sin and wickedness. He goes, well, God hates my sin that I do, but he doesn't hate me.
God loves me, yeah.
God loves me. So he's been deceived by man-made religion.
Yep.
And I thought of this verse for him. He wasn't humbled, but he was definitely chopped down by this. I told him, James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world will be an enemy of God. I told him, I said, this art fair is a friend of the world, sir. It's highly esteemed among men. It's an abomination to God, Luke 16. And we had about, I would say, I had five conversations with older men today.
Mm-hmm.
That started out where they were like, oh, we're fine, and where they went, yeah, I got to consider that. I guess I do maybe have to repent of those sins, don't I?
Yeah.
So it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. And we strived to work with everybody that was there and tried to do it in a calm, we always do,
yeah,
but a calm manner and just be there for people and encourage them with the gospel.
Right, amen. And we did.
Yeah.
A handful of them. I'm thinking of two older sisters that walked up to me. One of them was giving me a thumbs up. She seemed really nice and like a listener. And her sister piped up about, oh, I'm a this and that, a Pentecostal or something like that. And as I was talking to her other sister, the one sister walked away, the Pentecostal one. And I encouraged the kind, gentle sister to be very aware of the Pentecostal faith because she wasn't going there until she met her sister. And
yeah.
It was just pretty awesome, and you just said something about, did you say about redeeming the time? You just mentioned that, because I use that a lot when we go to these festivals and stuff that really have...
Yeah, we ask people, what are you doing with your time here?
Yeah, exactly. So this woman, she was really nice to talk to, and I explained Satan's kingdom, and she agreed with it, and I turned and I pointed to the festival, because we were like by the entryway, and I said... James 4:4 says, friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God. And she looked around, and her face dropped, and she's like, she nodded her head like, yeah, you
got a
point.
Yeah, we hope the Holy Spirit brings conviction to these people.
Yeah, and then you always ask them, what are you doing here?
I asked a bunch of these older men, these five older men, I asked them, I said, what did Jesus tell us we're supposed to do? And he said, they all said, preach the gospel, live godly.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you think Jesus called you to the art fair? Does Jesus call you to the things of the world? Does Jesus call you to do all this stuff? And they're like, no, not really. I said, why are you doing it, sir? Trying to get them to test and challenge and question themselves, because they're just following the culture. They're following man-made religion. Nobody's challenging them to go deeper in the obedience and holiness that they need. Most of them aren't even born of God.
Right. And I think, you know, the redeeming time one seems to be a really good one to catch people, because they're like, yeah, you're right. And what it shows them, hopefully, is maybe that I know a sin is a sin, but there are some that people deem much weightier than the others.
Yeah.
And not redeeming the time to those people seem like a very, very small one.
Yeah.
But when they recognize that, it's like, yeah, you're right. Hopefully they realize how big it really
is.
Yeah,
because nobody's, their church systems aren't, the culture's not, their own Bible study's not. Nobody's lifting up these doctrines and the principles of God that tells us, redeem the time, come out of the world,
yeah,
live holy in all your conduct, go preach the gospel. Nowhere does the Bible tell us we can take all kinds of time for ourselves to go do and fill our flesh. It tells us the opposite. It says, come out of your flesh.
Right, exactly.
So we love our neighbor enough to come and tell them those truths.
Yeah. I was going to share one about haughty that didn't become humble. I was standing there, and it was like there was two men that come walking by, and I'm just going to say they looked and acted like homosexuals.
Yeah.
I mean, they have characteristics and traits.
Right.
I'm not saying they are, but they certainly had some flamboyant attitude about them. One of them walked off, and the other one stood, like, not even a foot away from me, right next to me. And he stood there with his back to me, and I said, would you like a gospel card? He said, no. And so I started, he wasn't doing anything. I knew he was being a mocker. So all I did was start preaching the gospel, and when I got to Christ shed blood, he spun around, and he told me that the Bible was written by men. And all I said was, it's inspired by God through men. And I said, feel free to go talk to my husband or my brother about that. And he took off. And I thought that was interesting. The blood of Christ, you say that. And we know how many often we start preaching the gospel to somebody and they walk off. They don't want to hear it. They become really contentious over
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah,
they don't humble themselves.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, they need to.
Yeah, they need to. And that's why Christ said very few are going to find. Because you know what? Guess what? They're not seeking it. They're not going to find it because they're not seeking it. They're seeking right. enjoyment in the culture and food and music and flesh and art. They're not seeking the kingdom of God. We go to step into those places to call out the gospel and give the Holy Spirit, I don't want to say ammunition, but give the Holy Spirit things to use to convict people with. Because the preaching of the Word of God, Paul says, how will they hear without the preaching? Then the Holy Spirit can use that to convict people of what they've heard, what they've seen, and what they should be doing.
Yeah, amen. And I keep thinking about Jesus telling the rich man the one thing he lacked. So all these people claiming Christ, yeah. I know.
People, it says Jesus loved him when he told him that, too.
Yeah, and people from the outside, they think you're mean, that you're cruel and hateful. Unless you're seeking truth, then they understand it and they come up and thank us. But that's all we're trying to do is preach the gospel, get them to think, to turn, and show them what they lack. Those
Amen.
Who are claiming Christ, and oftentimes it's a whole lot more than just one.
Yeah, yeah. When we first got there, the Jehovah's Witnesses were set up, so I got to walk up and basically expose the whole Jehovah's Witness faith to the man and woman standing there. Then he had no answer, as usual. Later, they were walking in the art fair when I was standing at the entrance, and I got to call out to him again. So it was a really good day.
I have a question for sisters.
Yeah.
So, Brother Tupos just talked about the Jehovah Witness, and he asks the men, you know, what is it you ask them?
I always ask them, first I go over why their faith is unbiblical. They don't believe Jesus is God. They have a false Bible that they invented. They have a false gospel. They carry many false man-made traditions. And then I ask them, why should I be a member of the Jehovah Witness cult? Tell me, sir, why should I surrender what I'm doing for Christ outside of all of the church systems and become a Jehovah Witness? Give me the evidence and why I should.
And that made me think, sisters, what would your answer be if somebody said, why should I become a Christian?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Ponder that. That'll yeah. give you something to think about.
I'll give you a hint. Cling to the gospel.
Amen.
Just preach the gospel and tell them without the gospel, they're lost.
Right, because I'll just go there real quick. They always sit there with their mouth shut. 99.9% of them do,
yep.
unless somebody gets in their
They're
flesh
told
and says,
to not say anything.
Yep. They don't say anything.
They're very non-controversial.
Yeah, that's contrary to what a true born-again saint would do. If somebody come up to you and said, why do you wear a head covering? Why
yep.
are you doing that? What's with First the
Bible? 1 Peter 3:15, be ready to give an answer.
Exactly. So
See,
ponder
but
that.
That shows that they're a cult because they're trained. If people come up and oppose you, don't even talk to them. We're looking for the people that we can easily ensnare. Don't even talk to people because they know that they're not teaching the truth.
Yeah.
And it's just a cult that they're trying to trap people in. It's
right.
It's a system of Satan, just like the evangelicals or Baptists or Catholic or any
mm-hmm.
other ones. So. But yeah, we got to do that, and we got to talk to a whole bunch of people. We passed out a bunch of gospel cards. I had people standing there thanking me for what we were doing, and then I'd give them a gospel card and say, test yourself, come out of the world. They're like, okay.
Yeah, amen, me too. I was just thinking about this, it popped in my mind. A young boy, maybe 12, walked by, and he came from yours and Brother Akuo's direction, so I don't know who gave him the gospel card. And he walked by, and it fell out of his hand, and he made a point to stop and wait till people walked by to pick it up,
nice.
Stick it in his pocket. And then later, as you were walking by, so we must have got it from Brother Akuo, you gave him one.
Oh, okay.
And he took it. So I know he ended up with two, but they don't know that they're not, you
yep,
know,
yep,
that they're
yeah.
the same and stuff. So I thought that was pretty interesting. He was paying attention.
Yeah. How about, real quick, tell about the guy that said we shouldn't be preaching where the children's booths was.
Oh, yeah. I was standing by the children's booth, and Brother Tupos was down a little ways. And Brother
it's an open area. I mean, it's a
oh,
sidewalk.
Yeah. Yeah, we were off it.
We were moving all over.
Fine, yeah. And he came over, and he had this dog over there, and he was really, really angry. He's like, you need to move away from the children's area. This is for families. I said, families need the eternal life too. Yep. Here, would you like a gospel card? He was really mad. And I said nothing else other than, you need to go talk to that older man down there, my husband. You can take that up with him. And I turned around and ignored him.
Yeah.
Because I knew he was going to be trouble. I wasn't trying to be mean, but he was really aggressive.
Yep.
And then it sent him down there by you.
Yep, he came by me and he said, you shouldn't be here in the children's area. And I said, sir, we're moving all over. No, you shouldn't be by the children. I said, Jesus said, the kingdom of God, suffer the little children to come. And he just looked at me and he's like, well, yeah, but not you. I said, I'm a worker of God. I said, I'm a messenger of God. We preach the gospel. I said, we'll be moving on, sir. He didn't want a gospel. And we sent him on his way. And that kind of leads me to, I have one more scripture verse. Follow peace, Hebrews 12:14-15. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man should fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up that trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That is always our goal. We just want to go. We just want to preach. We let everybody do what they do. They need to let us do what we do, and we're always looking to be at peace with the police, the event organizers, the fairgoers. And we know we can't be at peace with everyone. We got mockers, we got haters, but we do our best to be peaceable. And right. For people to look at us and go, well, you might not like what they're saying, but they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
They're not aggressive. They're not yelling and screaming at people. You know, we hear these people tell us, you're yelling and screaming, and it's like, I'd love for anybody to produce an audio or a video of me or Brother Kuhl or Sister Amin or anybody yelling and screaming. About the worst it'll get is a stern rebuke for a false teacher.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, so. Any other thoughts, Sister Amin?
I got two. I got to end. I have one plus a scripture verse.
Yeah.
So the ending thought, as we packed, well, when we were done here, we had lunch in the parking lot.
We finished the steak that God so graciously, a man gave us, a cowboy cook. He was like a cook guy.
Yeah.
And he asked us to watch his truck where we were parked, and I said, sure. He said, I'll bring you food. I said, we don't need food, sir. Yesterday we told you about how he brought us some steaks, and because he was a cook and he didn't know who we were, we thought, well, we feel safe enough to eat these. And they were the best steaks I ever had.
Oh, yeah, it was Brother awesome.
Brother Kuhl enjoyed it, so.
Yeah, so I cooked those up real quick, and we had that. We had a nice lunch, and then I punched in Google Maps where we were going to go.
Yeah.
And we're driving, and I was like, hey, did we come in this way? And Brother Tupo said, no. And then I was like, uh-oh. Google Maps sending us a different way. But guess what? It was beautiful.
I think you're going to put the video up.
Yeah, it was.
It's a country drive.
Yeah, country drive. We didn't have to get on the screaming highway. So yeah. It was like a little added.
Yeah, because we left a small city where the art fair was, and we kind of left to go to a bigger city. The time has come. We're working our way north.
Yeah.
Working our way out of Florida. Working our way north for this preach season. And so, praise God, we made it to our town. We got an awesome park spot. There's some nasty thunderstorms supposed to be rolling in.
Apparently.
But it was hot today, and a lot of wind, and it's cooling down. So
yeah, we feel it changing.
We're looking forward to a rainy night. We like those when we hunker down in the van. And then tomorrow, we're hoping to go stand out, good Lord willing, outside a religious building.
Yeah, let's see how that goes.
Yeah.
If we get the day.
Yep, amen. And then we'll probably be holding over, and then Monday we'll continue our journey north.
Mm-hmm.
What's your scripture verse, Sister Amin?
It goes along with what we were talking about. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time.
I love that. In due time. Reminds me of waiting upon the Lord.
Oh, I like that, too.
So thank you, Father. It was an awesome preach. Brother Kuhl did awesome. Sister Amin did awesome. I did awesome. We had good witnessing.
Yeah.
And
God was glorified.
God was glorified. The gospel went out, and we're just going to keep striving on. Tomorrow we'll go out to a church. We got some testings to put up. We got more studies, more teachings going up. Check out the Ecclesia Gathering area. Check out that video. And why do we do this? We love God. We love our neighbor. We're just obeying the great command. Love God. And the second one, love your neighbor.
Amen.
Anything else, Sister Amin?
Just thankful to be able to do what we do and edify the saints and be an encouragement and maybe a good example.
Amen. We got to hold fast. We got to keep striving. We know the way is narrow. Few there be that find it. We can't let that dissuade us. We need to make sure at the end of our journey, the end of our race, at the end of our lives, we can stand before the Lord and say, we did all we could.
Yeah,
and
amen.
Not feel like, wow, we really let our guard down. And that's part of, real quick, that's part of what we call out to these people. Many, 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 Brother Kuhl said this real quickly. Brother Kuhl said this today. He said, I can't imagine all the regrets these people are going to have when they stand before God, when they finally realize how long eternity is, and when they see how they've refused to obey God and they're sent away. He said, it like breaks my heart to think about these people. So we go to try to get them to think about eternity. Quit thinking about art. Quit thinking about movies, sports, and politics, pride and vanity, music, food. Yeah. Think about eternity. It's coming.
Yeah.
And we hope that some will listen. So that's our charge. So. That's what Christ called us to do.
Amen.
All right. We love you all. Till next time. Go out, have a glorious day. Check out those resources. And good Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow.
May God be praised.